Welcome to the Pop Goes the Culture podcast for Friday, April the 5th. My name is Joey Mills, and I am your host today. Just me. I am coming to you from the Pop Goes the Culture home studio. We're recording this one just a little bit early because Dusty and I are going to be in Columbus, Georgia this weekend for Georgia Comic Con. If you're in the area, be sure to come out and join us. There's a ton going on this weekend in Columbus. We got the Comic Con. There's a parade going on. There's a food truck event. It's going to be a nice weekend, and it's going to be a big weekend in Columbus, Georgia. So if you are there, or if you're close by, you can drive there in an hour or two or three. Come on out and see us. You know, Dusty and I always bring the fun, always bring the party with us to these types of events. So we look forward to seeing you guys there. We're going to have a lot of fun this weekend. Thanks to everybody for listening whenever and wherever you're able to join us from. Like I said, short show this week so we can finish packing, hop on a plane. This week we have some audio from last month's Mississippi Anime Fest. We have voice actor Sheremy Lee. You're going to want to stick around for that. And we're going to catch you back here next week for another brand new, normal, full-length episode of the Pop Goes the Culture podcast. We'll have the whole gang with us. Until then, be safe, be healthy, and be happy. We'll talk to you guys later. Hopefully we'll see you in Columbus, Georgia this weekend for Georgia Comic Con. Take care, guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
So this is set up to be a Q&A, which means you guys get that microphone right there. That's yours. That's like, I'm not allowed to touch it until tomorrow at like 5:02 or something.
Oh, wow. You're off limits.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
Then.
I'm not allowed to. Yeah. Man. There are issues between me and the mic.
Is it so tempting for you right now knowing that it's a mic that you must steer clear of?
I really want to touch the mic, to be honest.
It's the way it is with anything. Everybody says, don't eat this cookie. They're like, I want that cookie.
All right, I'm gonna
touch that microphone.
I'm going to touch the mic.
You got it. Just get it out of the way.
These people cannot stop me. All right. Fair enough. All right, I got my mic touching.
That's. Right. I don't know if any of the other actors have said this, but that is the one thing that we are always told when we step into
the
booth.
Don't touch the mic.
Don't touch the mic.
Yeah.
The engineer has a very strict setup. Don't touch the mic, which backfired on them during COVID when they wanted us to keep recording. Suddenly, all the engineers were getting a bunch of emails from actors. They're like, what do I do? We've
touch
never been allowed to touch the mic. Yeah. So they were all very helpful in accommodating us getting our home set up so we could all keep working. But
once you're back in the studio,
now everybody's like,
don't touch
the mic.
Know
how to They're like, don't touch that. That's mine.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
So again, guys, this is your microphone. You guys get to get up, move around. You are not going to offend us if you're moving. In fact, that's your job for the next little bit, is to get up, move around, and we'll get through as many questions with you guys as we can in the short time we had together. We didn't get through all of them last time, so we're just going to jump right into it, so that way we can get through them. So, yes, please tell us your name.
Hey, my name is Cassie.
Hi,
all right, Cassie. What is your question?
Out of every key character you've ever voiced,
yes,
who is your favorite?
That's so hard. And I always try to explain this to people, because everyone says, you can't pick your favorite child. I only have one child, so she is my favorite.
So you do get to pick one.
But I still love my cats as well, and so it's hard to pick a favorite that way, too. So I explain it this way. If I have a lot of figures and plush and toys and Funkos of the characters that I voice in my office, and I imagine at night they all come alive a la Toy Story. A lot of them have very big weapons, and they're very skilled warriors. And if I were to pick a favorite and it wasn't that one, it would come to kill me in the middle of the night. So this is what I agonize over when I make a choice. So I pick the character that I know all of them would rally behind and say, yes, we must protect at all cost. And that's Kotaro from Kotaro Lives Alone. I got to co-direct that show, and I also got to voice Kotaro. And he is a sweet little boy that must be protected at all costs. And I know that all of my characters would say, all right, she didn't pick me, but we will rally behind and defend Kotaro till the end. So that one is my favorite.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's like a... Are you in therapy?
Oh, yeah, that I imagine. So as a child, I was like, I would tell my mom, I'm like, I can't pick a favorite toy. And she would like, which one do you want to bring to dinner if we were going out? I was like, well, I picked this one. So if I pick that same one, the other ones will know. And she was like, okay. I also was the person that if there was a toy that had one eye missing at the store, I would say,
"That's
I should take that one.
Yeah.
No one else wants it. Which... You know, for my friends and my husband and my family, they're like, we hate that that's who
why,
you are
why
inside.
Why you bring home
what
the creepy
that,
guy? Yeah.
What does that say about me?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All
hi.
Right. What is your name?
Hi, my name's McKagan.
Hi.
I was wondering what your favorite line or part was of playing Queen Sonya in Tears of the Kingdom.
Ooh, man. I vividly remember the scene with them sitting down and having tea. Mm-hmm. that was a really fun scene to do. I will say there is a scene that I have blocked out of my head, and I'm sure if you've played the game, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To the point that when I was playing the game, I was like, oh, I didn't voice this one. What happens? And then I was listening to it going, I did voice this. That is my voice. Mm. Wait, I voiced this. And as the scene was going on, I was like, oh, we blacked this out. And then I texted Matt Mercer, and I said, you are a madman, and I don't think I could forgive you for this. And his response was, wait, you're Sonya? I love you. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hello.
Hey.
What is your name?
Hi.
Andy.
Hi.
So, how should we, a little personal, but...
That's okay.
How should we call our future queen? Is it Sierly or Sierly?
Sierly. My daughter's name is Sierly Ember, and we didn't know until after she was born that we realized pronunciation. It's like sea, like the water, air, like the sky, Lee, which actually in medieval times we looked up as like a name for somebody who watches the meadow, so that's earth, and then ember is fire. So we accidentally named her all the elements.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
You look adorable.
Thank you.
Your name first.
Yeah, Ella.
Ella.
Good job. You're halfway home.
Yay. And quick question: did you voice Taro in A Whisker Away?
Yes, I voiced the main character and the cat in A Whisker Away. I love that movie.
I have watched that movie about 20 times.
Oh my gosh! Yay!
So I was very excited to come.
Yay! I'm so glad you liked it.
The real question is, how did you get the part as Sailor Venus?
Ooh, this is a very long, drawn-out story. I got an audition from Studiopolis in Los Angeles that said, we're auditioning for this anime. Everything is very top secret. We're using sides from Sailor Moon, but it's not Sailor Moon. And then they said, we're casting this magical girl anime. Don't worry, it's not Sailor Moon. There was a lot of it's not Sailor Moon. So when I went to audition, I put it off as long as possible because I really wanted to do it. And the way I handle things that I really want to do is procrastinate until it's the very last minute. Somebody's like, yeah. So when it came time that I was either going to miss the deadline or I had to send it in, I was on my way to a flight to film a movie. So I had to send it in on my phone in my car. Not the best quality for an audition. So they had called me about 2 weeks later and said, you got a call back for Sailor Moon and Luna, but please do not record this on the potato that you recorded it on before. I was out of town for the callbacks because I was getting married. So I was like, I'm going to miss out on this not Sailor Moon because of my wedding. I went to a studio. I said, this is not Sailor Moon. This is not Sailor Moon. Please record this audition for me, but don't get me in trouble. This is an NDA. They let me record the audition. I got a call from the director, or the marketing director, who said, I hope you like orange. And I was like, what a weird thing to say. I haven't heard from her in weeks. And that was all she said. And then I got another email while I was driving to the rehearsal dinner for my wedding that says, you've been cast in Sailor Moon, but you have to abide by these stipulations. I had to be able to go to Anime Expo. I had to be able to record on these specific days, and I had to be willing to wear my color. Well, obviously, now I'm great. I didn't have any orange in my closet. We had to go shopping. What a problem, right? But yes, that's how I got cast as Sailor Moon, and I found out that we had all of the cast members for the new dub. We all got a stamp of approval by the Japanese creator and the production team, which was very, like, very helpful because I was terrified to voice Sailor Venus and step into her shoes. And then when they said, you guys have been chosen and you got the stamp of approval, it was the boost of confidence that we needed, much like the Guardians themselves. It's a little scary to step into that role, but when you know that you have the support and you're doing it with this team, and the girls and I have become very, very good friends because they let us go to conventions together. So it's been such a gift to get to work on that. It was like my wedding present.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Keelix. I was wondering, I asked Keith this exact... I love your Crocs heels.
Thank you so much. My platform Crocs that people either love them or hate them. I love them.
I love them too. Okay, I asked Keith this exact same question.
Okay.
But is there a role or a character that you think would be fun or that you would like to have been casted as, but sadly somebody else did, or that you feel like you would have fun voice acting?
I never not have fun in the booth. That's what is so great about my job. And when you're auditioning for something, if any of you guys are actors, you'll understand that whenever you get a script, you immediately see what this character feels like for you, what makes it feel right, and you're like, oh my gosh, I would have so much fun working on this. And you can imagine what the cast would be like and what rehearsals would be like or what filming would be like. And then when you see that the project, if you get cast, cool. If you don't get cast and you see who does get cast, you go, oh, this is a very different interpretation from what I would have done. So there's a ton of projects that I would have loved to have been cast in. But when I see how the project turns out, I go, wow, my version of that character had no place with the rest of the ensemble. Like, it just would have been like, Sherry's doing her own like little show over here. It has no, it does not fit in with the rest of the team. So when you're working on a project, from the behind the scenes, which I saw working on Kotro, and directing, you ask for the producer's approval, you ask for the director's approval, and then you kind of like have to step aside and let the behind the scenes team know, because they know how all the pieces are working. When you're an actor, you only know your piece of the puzzle. That being said, I've been working since I was 5. So there's been hundreds of thousands of things that I've auditioned for that I have imagined what it would be like if I got to be on the red carpet or on the screen or they got to be in the studio. And it sucks and it's crushing every time you don't get that, because that all of that vision and that dream goes away. But in the same flip of a coin, there's been a ton of projects that I've gone, I'm not right for this. I would love to get to do this, but there's no way I'm right for this. Cyberpunk was a case in point. I read the audition, fell in love with the character, and was like, I know I'm not right for it, but I'm really just going to soak up this 15 minutes in the booth. And then they called and said, you get to work on the demo. And I was like, I'm going to enjoy this demo, but I'm never getting the real, I'm not going to be able to do the main game. So it happens both ways. Sometimes you go, I'm right for this. I know I'm perfect. And they say, it's not going to happen. And sometimes you say, God, I'd love to get to do this, but I know there's no way in the world. And then you get that. Is there one specifically? No, because I see what they turn out as, and I see my friends that get to work on them, or the final product, and I go, that's the right fit. I have no business in that one. So,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Hannah Lucchese.
Hi, Hannah.
I was wondering, what was your favorite Asuna Yuki outfit?
Ooh. it's so hard. I love her ordinal scale outfit, but my favorite of all time is the tan sweater.
Ooh.
The on the floor with the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Her I say it's her chill normal outfit, her cozy outfit. That's my favorite.
Hello.
You look so cute.
Thank you.
Hello.
I'm Fioni, and in honor of Kyoka,
yes.
Do you like boiled tofu?
I've never had boiled tofu. I guess I must. I have to try it.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
What is a project of yours that you think flew under the radar that more people should know about?
Ooh, that's so hard. I used to say Kotro Lives Alone, and then everybody started watching it, and now people come up, they're like, I love Kotro. I was like, I guess it's not under the radar anymore. We did it. It's not something that necessarily flew under the radar, but it was a big part of my life, and so it's always fun to get to say that I worked on this. But I was the voice of Radio Disney for about 20 years. So I got to do all the promos and things, and I started working there when I was 8 years old. So it was a big, like, training place for me. And I also got to be a writer for them, so.
I'm pretty sure I have a CD with your voice on it now
you
that you mentioned the Radio
do.
Disney
Yeah.
Thing.
And oddly enough, like, Kara Edwards
right.
and
Kyle
Hebert, I know that one or both of them directed some of my kid sessions when I would go in and do the promos. And I remember like, wow, they're DJs. This is Squeege and Kara. This is so cool. And now that I see them at conventions and they're like, please don't talk about how many years ago that was. I was like, I won't. It was yesterday. It was fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ryan.
Good to see you, Ryan.
I was curious, you play a lot of inspirational characters that go through a lot of stuff to get to where they are. Is there a character that inspired you the most that you voiced, or someone that like you voiced and you were like, that's pretty much me?
There's been, that's one of the things that I love so much about my job is I think, you say, have you been in therapy? And I'm like, in every session I'm in. And it's one of my favorite things about being an actor is you don't have the luxury of saying like, I'm not going to deal with these feelings. Because your job is to express feelings fully and honestly every single day. So there are days where I'll be really frustrated or really angry and I don't want to look at that piece of myself. And then I go in and I have to record and my character is angry or devastated. And somehow your body doesn't know the difference of like what is a fake feeling for a scene and what is a real feeling. So suddenly these feelings just start coming up and people go, wow, this is a lot of really honest rage. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, don't apologize. And I realized I'm, you know, I've been told and I feel that this is very much the case, that there are so many things in our life to be grateful for that sometimes we feel bad about being frustrated or angry when things don't go our way. But there's no bad feelings. The only times that feelings are bad for us is when we don't give ourselves the luxury and the time to feel them. And there are safe ways to feel the feelings, journaling them, talking about them, or doing a scene where you get to act it out. So I have played a lot of emotional characters, I guess, because I have a lot of emotions that I have to work through. And while I'm in a session and the scene is great and the lines are great, for me, I'm like, why hold back? I need to just feel this here so I'm a healthier person for my family and now my daughter and all the people that I'm lucky enough to have in my life. So I'm very thankful that my job is also a place where I can work through these things, where I can learn about myself. And also there have been moments where I've played a character and said, I have nothing in common with this character. V in Cyberpunk was a perfect scenario. If there it was ever a live action movie adaptation, nobody would say, you know who's going to play V? Jeremy. Although I have dreamed that I would get to do like a Ryan Reynolds movie where I would get trapped in the video game and I'm like, oh my God, I'm a very dark, angry protagonist that dresses and looks like me. That's terrifying. But as I started working on Cyberpunk, I was like, wow, we have so many things in common. And it had me like, as I'm working on this character, looking at my life going, what are things I've accomplished in my life if it all ended today? Because that's so much of the game. Am I happy with where my life is going? What do I want to accomplish now? What goals do I need to work through? Because that's really what the character is working with. So when you're playing a character, you're forced to go through the journey with them. And then when you leave at the end of the day and process what you've done, you're forced to look at yourself in those situations and say, how can I improve my life? Or how can I change if I don't like what things are going on? So I'm inspired by every single one of my characters, even if it's a character that I've played, like in Bleach, I played Johnny Youngbosch's mom for one episode, and it was so much fun to work on. And then I left going, wow, I really love that character, and I love that she was able to find peace between both sides. And it was just for one episode, and I was inspired by her for that one moment. So a hard answer, but every single one of them every day.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
So I wanted to ask you, I love your performance in so many things.
Thank you.
But last year I played Nier for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And hearing A2 and Nier, I was like, that's Jeremy. I didn't realize it off the top. And it's like, how did you, like, as a voice actor, like, getting that deeper, like, somber, more, like, intense kind of feeling that differs from a lot of anime characters you do? Just like,
that's the best part of the job is working with people, A, that want to give you work. And for so much of the time, when you start working in voice acting, they just want your regular voice because they know you're comfortable with that. And then you work with people, and then you'll find some directors that say, I know you can do this, and I want you to practice this, or I want you to give this a shot. And they give you a safe place to explore. So for years, I had been always auditioning for the high voice characters, the middle voice characters that sound like me, and the deeper characters. And I would not book the deeper characters. And A2 was the very first time that they sent in my audition and they said, we booked her for the deeper voice character, to the point that the studio owner was like, we didn't know you could do that. And then for the better part of the last few years, everyone's like, let's go with the deep voice. I'm like, okay. So I don't know if I'll ever get to play a high-voiced anime-type character again. Now everyone's like, if she has a lot of feelings and an anger problem and a very large weapon, I think Jeremy's a good fit. Or she's a dragon. It's either one of those.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Denise, and what was your favorite line that you played from Zero Venus?
Ooh, well, I wrote it down today. Let's see. Venus, love me, chain! That's probably one of my favorites because it's got a fun whip. Man, what is my other favorite one? Any scene that I get to have with Artemis is the best because I wish my cats could talk to me. So I live through that vicariously through her.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello, I'm
Hello.
Zane.
Hi, Zane.
I was curious, what's your favorite personality type to play when you voice act, whether it be a more ditzy, bubbly character, someone a little more solemn, serious, introspective?
Man, it changes by the day. Lately, so there's one character that I got to play recently. She's in a video game. I can talk about this game now. Her name's Kella. She is like a dwarf troll, very hairy feet. She's adorable. But she has a lisp and a southern accent, and that's my favorite. She's very intelligent, very much like a mom, and takes care of everybody. But getting to do an accent and a lisp and also tell people that they are maybe making the wrong choices is never not fun to play. To the point that I was about to have my daughter any day, and they said, can you come into the studio? And I said, for Kella, yes. So that's very fun to do. But then, you know, there are some days, you know, I have different music that I listen to, different playlists I listen to every day. So there are some days I'm like, man, I would really love to play Ditzy. That would be very fun today. And there are some days I'm like, can I just play a character that, like, annihilates everyone in her path and tells them all they're the worst person ever? It's nice to get to do a little bit of everything. You feel balanced at the end of the day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Andrew.
Hello. Good to see you.
This is a question regarding Cyberpunk and kind of coming off of that role.
Sure.
Would you say you're ready to just hop right into the next large-scale project, or do you want to scale it back and go for a bit more of a smaller role in game, anime?
Any project that would be willing to invite me on board, yeah, that would be great. This is a trickier answer now that I have a 5-month-old baby. Obviously, jumping into a huge project like Cyberpunk would be a little more challenging now than it was before, because Cyberpunk required, sometimes I would record for 8 and 9 hours a day, which was very rare for voiceover. That being said, I also understand that in the business that I'm in, we don't get to choose the timeline of when projects come up. Sometimes you won't work for years and years, and sometimes you're working nonstop, and you are like, will I ever sleep again? And so I know if somebody was like, we have this project, we'd like you to work on it, it's 10 lines, can you come in? The answer is yes. If somebody's like, we have this project, we're going to need you to work for the next 2 years, are you in? Yes, I'll find a way. But I am enjoying kind of the slow, I took off a couple of months to have my daughter and figure out how to adjust to that. So I'm enjoying that time and then easing back into work. But, I mean, that being said, if Cyberpunk or something like that came back in and said, would you like to jump into this game? If I felt like the character was the right fit and I would love to work with the team, I'll find a way to do it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Austin.
Hi, Austin.
First of all, when I saw you were coming, I didn't even realize that you were Sailor Venus as well. I grew up watching Sailor Moon.
How cool.
So that's cool. But I've heard, I guess, kind of like rumors about Fairy Tale that the Hundred Years Quest.
Yes.
Have you heard anything, or can you?
I am the last person to know anything.
Dang.
And I know they do that by design. So much so, and this is not a joke, when the dubs for the Sword Art Online movies came out, I found out that they were doing a dub premiere through Twitter. And I just assumed that I was not the voice, because I assumed if they're doing a dub premiere, the dub must already exist.
Right.
No, they were working on the script, and I went in and recorded the next day. Nice. So I find out when we're getting a new season or when the season is coming via Twitter or via you guys at a convention. Some wonderful person today told me that Black Butler season 2 is coming out in April. I had no clue.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Great. So you guys will probably find out before me.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. You look so cute.
Thank you. I'm Lydia, and I know that the question about what your favorite character that you've done
is has yeah. already happened. But I was wondering what character was the most enjoyable for you to voice?
Oh, man, that's hard. Kel is a very fun one to voice. Kotaro was terrifying and then ended up being really fun. What's another one that it's just really fun to voice? Usually the weirder voices are the really fun ones for me to voice. The ones that everybody goes, I'm sorry, what was that? I'm like, I don't know, but it was great. That was a very fun one to voice. I played a very small character on a show called Goldie and Bear, and he was a billy goat that hugged a little too aggressively. He just loved people so much and didn't know his own strength, so he would headbutt people when he loved them. And the whole episode is about, like, maybe we don't headbutt our friends. There are other ways to show people we love them. But they wrote this very cool song for me mm-hmm. in a rockabilly style, and I got to sing like a billy goat with the bahs and all throughout the song. And that was very fun to get to do. And then later that day, I got to go work on Call of Duty playing the quartermaster. So I remember that day I was like, what a weird job I have that I'm doing a World War II quartermaster in the afternoon. And I'm a billy goat with aggression hugging issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi.
Hello.
My name's Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
I was wondering, what was it like getting the callback for Evangelion where they're like, yeah, you got the perfect voice for a penguin?
So there was no callback. I'm so glad that you brought this up. No one's ever asked about this. Carrie Karenin, the director, who's a very good friend of mine. I love her dearly. I got a call. We'd like you to come in and work on Evangelion. They didn't say a character, so I assumed I'm doing incidentals. Because oftentimes you'll get called in. You're like, oh, I'm thrilled to just have a job today. You go in and you voice whatever random girl in episode 1, episode 5, whatever characters they need, and you do Walla. So I had multiple hours. I was like, we're doing a lot of incidentals. I brought in. She goes, do you know what we're working on today? I said, no. She goes, good. I didn't want him to tell you. I was like, what are we doing? She goes, do you see this cute little bean right here? I was like, that looks like a penguin. She's like, it's Pen-Pen. And I was like, okay. She's like, it's you. And I was like, okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is not one of those noises that I was taught as a child. What sound does a penguin make? She goes, great, we're going to find out together. And we watched videos on YouTube of penguins and then listened to what they did in the Japanese and found an amalgamation of a penguin. And my favorite direction from that session was, that was such a great sound. Can you imagine that a fish is stuck in your throat and do it again? So
thank you.
It was a very weird session, but it was a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, I'm Parker.
Hi, Parker.
I was wondering what your favorite celestial spirit is.
Oh, man. I love Loki or Leo. I love Virgo because Terry is lovely. And I have to pick Aquarius for obvious reasons. I would like to say Cancer because that's my zodiac sign, but I'm terrified of scissors being near my face at random times unless I'm getting a haircut. So I can't pick Cancer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I totally can't relate to that answer.
My name is Justin, and hey, I was Justin. Wondering. Wait.
That's all right. You got your name out. That's like yeah. better than some folks do. You're good.
Why did I kind of forget my question?
It's all right.
It happens.
I remember now. So I was wondering, has there ever been a time where you related too much to a character that you needed a break from voice acting them?
Ooh, that I needed a break from voice acting. No, there have been scenes or things that I have played that have been really heavy, and that after I left the booth that day, I was like, whoa, and that stayed with me for 24 hours or 48 hours until I went into the booth the next day. There were a lot of moments that happened in Cyberpunk because it's just such a heavy game, and we were working every day for months and months and months. And the thing that's so great about, well, there are differences working on TV and film versus voiceover. But for voice acting, when you have a director that says, I know we have to do this really heavy, heavy scene, and I don't want you to leave with this heavy scene, I'm going to give you a comedy scene to cap off the day before you drive home, especially when you're in rush hour traffic in LA, is such a gift. And I was so thankful that that was the director that I worked with on Cyberpunk. He would cherry pick the scenes that we had to do in a way that we started, if we were starting with the game really heavy, then we were going to end lighter, if we were the opposite way. But he was like, I never want you to leave. But there are some really heavy moments in that game, and some of them where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to finish this. I'm emotionally like affected by what just happened. There was a day that I was doing a TV show, and we had a 15, 16-hour day. And I knew that I had to go back the next day after I'd been on my feet in heels with literal blood on my hands all day. Fake blood, but I couldn't touch anything. So I was just, my body was exhausted, and we had to start off and do the session the next day. But that was another one where I was like, man, how am I going to go to work tomorrow? Just physically, what was what I had to do to be on set and be ready to go. Being on a film or a TV set is a very different beast from voiceover. And voiceover, you know you're going to be called in for 2 to 4 hours, and you'll work nonstop for those 2 to 4 hours. For a TV or film job, you will get called to set sometimes 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you will be there all day long, and you might be waiting for 7, 8 hours before you get called to set, or you might be called immediately at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they need you to do everything that needs to be done. So it's different types of stamina, but those were two situations where I was emotionally exhausted and where I was like physically exhausted, that when the day was done, I was like, I need a good night's sleep, and I need to process all of this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
My name is Anastasia.
Hi, Anastasia.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
I was wondering, you've worked with Bryce Peppenbrook a lot.
Yeah.
Like in Sorted Online, Whisker Away, and Miraculous.
Yeah.
Are you close friends with him?
I am. It's always a trick. We don't usually get to choose who we get to work with, so it's really fun when we get to just work in general. But it is really fun when you get to work with your friends. I met Bryce through Sword Art Online, actually going to conventions. Most of the time, we don't get to hang, the actors, we don't get to work with each other in person, so we could be working with people for years and years and years and never meet them. The way we get to meet each other and hang out is going to conventions and hanging out in the green room and sitting with each other, being on the same flight, and flight delays, and we get to hang out and get to know each other. So that's, we love getting to meet you guys and coming to conventions, but it's also nice to get to say, I've worked with this person for 10 years, and it's nice to get to see your face and hear you in person. So Bryce and I were doing a lot of conventions to promote Sword Art Online when the show first came out, and we got to be very, very good friends. And then I met his wife, and I sort of like left him to the side, and his wife is now one of my best friends. But Bryce and Samantha, in all truth, Bryce is still one of my very good friends. They were two of the first people that got to meet my daughter when she was born. So they're always around, and I love their kids, and I know them very, very well. So I'm very thankful to Sword Art for a million reasons, but I got to meet them, and they've become some of my close friends.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hi. You can pull that microphone down to you, or just take it out. Or there you go. That'll work.
Nice.
Perfect.
My name's Amelia.
Very good.
Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Amelia and Abby. All right.
I was wondering, who is your favorite Sailor Scout?
Who is my favorite Sailor Scout? Well, obviously, I love Sailor Venus for obvious reasons. But when I was young, Chibiusa was my favorite. And so Chibiusa is my favorite, if not Sailor Venus.
Okay, thank you.
Who's your favorite?
Pluto.
Pluto.
Mine is also Chibiusa.
I love it. Pluto is my favorite planet.
Or even ex-planet.
I don't know how that works. I got very upset when people were like, it's not a planet anymore. I was like, are we just going to kill anything that's too small?
Apparently.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Cassie.
Hey.
Hi.
Just curious, are you...
Yeah.
Did you like performing for Sailor Venus in... Like, which version of Sailor Venus did you like more? Sailor Moon 90s or Sailor Moon Crystal?
I love getting to do both. We call them... we had to come up with nicknames for both of them, so we call them Crystal and Classic. What I love about Classic is there's a little bit more comedy, because we got a little bit more time and a little bit more filler episodes. Crystal is very, very serious, and I feel like it feels, the difference is like a multi-cam comedy show versus like a film where everything is very honest and real and we get to the point. So it's kind of nice to get to do two versions of Sailor Venus, but nothing beats those comedy scenes with the girls.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Yeah, pull that down. There you go.
What is your favorite outfit to wear in the show?
Ooh. The purple outfit from the Grand Magic Games.
Oh, that, okay, thank you.
That's my fave. Although, you know what, my answer might change when we get the 100-year quest. I don't know. I don't know what those outfits will look like. Oh, we got all the star dresses. No, purple's my favorite color. Gotta stick with the purple.
Oh, well, hello. My name's Emily.
How are you?
Excuse if I sound a little weird. Allergy season, right?
No, I get that.
Right?
I'm not from here, and every time we make this trip in March, it's literally, like, they don't kill stuff down here? Like, frost and cold?
No,
and
I got off the plane. I went to Dallas and then came here, and it's rained, so I understand this all too well.
Yeah.
We were like, what do I sneezed, like, three times yesterday, and I told somebody, I was like, I'm not sick. The plants.
Yes, that's where I'm at right now, and I'm not sick. It's just the plants.
So we're with you. We're like all on board.
Totally.
We're all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question's a little bit more long-winded and might bring some people down, but so I guess it's the media I consume, or the algorithm, or whatever have you. I've seen a lot of aspiring voice actors and actresses, and I was wondering, since you're female and I watch Shonen, I'm a big Shonen girl, right? Just, like, what is it like as a female voice actress, like, in terms of the kinds of roles you get, or, like, just kind of how seriously you're taken or not seriously, stuff like that, kind of, where I'm going for?
I mean, it's a tricky thing. In the industry that we're in, I started acting when I was 5, and so a lot of people that I... Because I started working as a child, a lot of people that knew me as an adult and as I grew up, they still remembered me as a child.
Right.
So I missed a lot of things that a lot of people that start when they're young women may have experienced, because a lot of people were, like, very protective because they knew me as a child, which was a blessing. However, yes, you do run into that experience of, well, she's a little girl and she's very sweet, and if you say, no, I'm not going to do this, or no, I think that I should work on this project, or I'm not going to work on this because of XYZ, or this is not the right rate, or whatever the case is, there are people that will push back. I don't know, because I'm not a man, if they also experience the same situation, so it's hard for me to say that this is solely what happens for women, or if this is just what happens in the industry. What's difficult about working in an industry that so many people want to work in, and that there are not a lot of opportunities and there are a lot of capable people, is you have a lot of certain production people or studios or people in the industry that will say, you're lucky to just have this job. And it's a big adjustment for the actor or the performer to say, yes, I'm lucky to have this job. They're also lucky to have me. So keeping in mind that you were hired because you bring something important to the table, and that is not something to be written off. And yes, you are lucky to have this job, and you're lucky that you were chosen, but they are equally lucky, and so that you shouldn't accept less, and you shouldn't allow anybody to walk all over you. And what's fantastic is there have been so many women in this industry throughout my life that have advocated for me, that have pulled me aside and said, you don't need to put up with that. And they've kind of, like, I've gone, oh, I can say no, or I can adjust. Absolutely. You can say, no, I need this break, or I need this time. And when I had my child, there was a lot of fear there too of, I have to take time off for obvious reasons. And am I going to miss out on work? And if I tell people I can't do a session right now, am I not going to work again? I had emails when I was in the hospital. Can you do this session? No, I just had a baby. And they said, no, we'll wait. Or we'll get this done ahead of time. We'll move the production schedule so that you can record this before the baby's due. Which was very nice to know. But I had to have women that had done this before me. And so in turn, when I'm finding someone who is coming up behind me, it is my job to then return the favor and look out for them the way I have been looked out for. So is it tricky? Yes, of course. But I think it's tricky in any industry that is a creative industry, where it's not just we go to school for this. We go to school, we train, and we're constantly fighting for a job no matter how many years you've been in it. So I'm very thankful to have a community of women and wonderful men that champion and look out for women. And I hope that continues because I think there's so many people that are very aware and very respectful, and they want a safer industry for everyone, and that's been really wonderful to see.
Thank you. And thank I also you. Wanted to add just one last thing.
Yeah.
I think you did great as Makoto.
Thank you.
I love the game, and I loved how you performed there. And
thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, my name is Jared.
Hi,
and
Jared.
My question was, what is your favorite thing about playing Kyoka in Bungo Stray Dogs?
Oh, man. She's a perfect dichotomy of very, very sweet, very, very quiet, very, very meek, but man, what power. And so that balance is really fun to get to do. Though I will say, she's got such a heavy backstory, so it feels very dramatic. Yeah. It was so nice to get to do, it's not, but we called it Chibi Cute Bungo Stray Dogs, where she got to be really funny and have these little quick one-liners that were just zingers. That was really nice to get to do, to give her like a little lightness in the dark of what has been her arc.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get through these last few questions that are in line. So come on up.
Hey, I
Hello.
Wanted to know how you got the job as Kyoka in Bungo Stray Dogs.
That was one that they just, I had worked with the studio a couple times, and they, first of all, we did not think that Bungo Stray Dogs was going to get multiple seasons. It was just such a great show, and they had brought me in and said, we have this one guest character that we want you to play, and we've worked with you on so many other things, we think you'd be a good fit. So I really lucked out in that I guess the creators thought that she was a really great character and kept inviting her back, and I lucked out on them saying, I think Jeremy might be a fit for this one episode. Oh, she comes back a lot. So that was very fun.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm a fan of Drew Monson, and I just saw that you were in Not Cool.
Yeah.
I just want to know how that experience was. And like.
It was really a lovely experience to work on that project. I know some people love the film, some people don't love the film, as is the case with all sorts of media. But I will say I had moved out to Los Angeles and got cast as the lead in that movie and then went out and filmed in Pittsburgh. And it was my first time getting to do a comedy. And Shane was directing, and it was his first time really directing. And I didn't know how this was going to go. It would have been very easy for him playing like the romantic lead character and also directing to cut me out of things. But he would be like, oh, we got to bring the camera over. Jeremy, look at this. And he would really listen to me and make sure that I felt safe. And in all of any sort of intimate scenes or anything like that, I was like, I'm not comfortable with this, that, and the other. He goes, then we're not doing it. We're not going to mess around with it. And it was very nice to have a director and a co-star that not only listened to me, but listened to me and then made sure that the production knew not to push in any sort of way. And then Drew is just hilarious. He's lovely to get to work with. We had so much fun. He has such a unique sense of comedy that is so Drew. And to get to bounce off of that and ad-lib with him was a blast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi again.
Hi.
Hello again. What is your favorite arc of Fairy Tail?
Impossible to choose, but I love the Michelle Lobster arc. Is very fun. I
Michelle
also love,
Lobster?
Yes. Well, that's
part,
what we call it.
The part of the Neo Ration Says?
Yes, indeed. I love right. that. I love that you know the
She'll
full name.
She'll allow that answer.
And I also
oh,
love...
Oh, yeah. I watched that part.
I love that one. And I also love the Celestial Spirit King when Lucy gets to go to the Celestial Spirit King to defend Loki.
That part where the Zodiac keys go crazy?
Yes.
And they
yes.
don't work when Lucy wants them to?
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Is that That's your favorite part
What's
as well?
What's your favorite? I know there's hundreds of episodes. It's impossible to choose.
My favorite part is of how Natsu beats Agnologia.
Oh, yeah. That might have been, I got to write about 15 episodes of Fairy Tail, and
what?
That might have been the arc that I got to write.
What?
I know. I got to adapt it. It wasn't my ideas. I just got to take the Japanese and then put it into English. So I can't say that I created it out of my head. That was not true.
All right. Thank you. Good questions. Hi. Come on up. You get to bring us home. What is your name and what is your question?
Hi, I'm Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
So
seeing you in person is making me really happy.
Oh,
yay.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, it's lovely to see you.
Oh, you were talking. I'm sorry.
You too. You
I apologize. Too. Yeah. I just assumed.
I remember you from last year, I think.
That's right, you did.
Well, sorry.
That's okay.
So basically what I'm realizing is I've been hearing your voice for about as long as I've been watching anime.
Oh, cool.
And so it's giving me a little bit of perspective, I guess, to try and ask this question. I'm
going
to try to word it right. So looking back, over your own career, so what's your favorite change or most positive change that you've witnessed in the voice acting industry that
that's
you maybe want
to... That's a great question to end on, isn't
such
it?
Such a good question.
Right on, Lauren.
So it's very funny that you asked this because when, obviously, if you guys know the industry, Funimation was bought by Crunchyroll, and now Funimation is no more. Yeah. When I started working in anime, I was 17. I was in high school. I'd been acting my whole life, but once you're out of high school, you're like, well, now acting is not a hobby. I have to, like, make a career out of this, and how can I do this in Dallas? I auditioned for Funimation while I was going to college, and I got cast in a show called Peach Girl. They flew me out to my first convention ever at Anime Boston, and I got to do a signing, got to do a panel, and I was like, this is so cool. I would love to get to do this again. I never imagined that I would get to travel the world. I never imagined I would get to play characters for over 10 years or that this would be my full-time job. I just didn't think that that existed or that anyone would care. As far as, like, my favorite change, when I was in high school, and even when I started working, because it was all around the same time, the anime club and anime and video games in general was something that, like, you talked about, like, in the hallway and like, oh yeah, we have anime, it's in the basement on, you know, on Thursdays, and it was something that you'd be like, yeah, I like anime, and you didn't want to like talk about it. And now I can walk through a mall or walk through a fairgrounds or show up and there's merch everywhere. And my favorite thing when I first started coming to conventions when I was 17 was seeing what a healthy, all-encompassing place this was. And I was bullied in middle school, elementary school, and high school. And just to see, wow, you come to a convention, there's so many people that all love different shows. But it's not, JoJo's is better than Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail's better than Sword Art. It's not that. It's like, oh, you love your show? Tell me about your show. This is my show. Please, I want to celebrate all of it. And I was like, I wish I could bottle the magic of a convention and give this to everyone. Because I would have loved to know that there was a safe place where there's beautiful art that people are designing that they can share. There's other actors. There's T-shirts. There's all this fun stuff. And that it was accessible in each state. And now seeing, like, not only is it accessible, but there's conventions that happen every weekend all over the world. And anime is not something that you just talk about and whisper about. It's something that people are sharing everywhere. It's very mainstream. There's access to it. So probably the accessibility and that it feels available to everyone so that everybody can have a little bit of this magic to know that they're safe and that they're loved. And you can like different shows, you can like different things, but you're all welcome here. And that's my favorite thing that I have seen, not just that it wasn't there when I started, but that it's grown and it's everywhere. So that's probably my favorite change.
Thank you.
That's all, folks.
This show has been brought to you by the Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network. Find links to all of our podcasts and more at popgoestheculture.com. Pop Goes the Culture is a VX5 Events partner. Find links to the entire Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network and more at popgoestheculture.com.